Oh, no, she did she have something?
Or virus or something, she should have come.
Oh, God, I don't want to hear.
If I could get everyone's attention.
No offense.
Just when we all go. That's not bad. It is 6 o'clock, so I think it's important to get things started. And this is a joint meeting between the Johnson County Board of Supervisors and Johnson County Conservation. And for the most part, the Board of Supervisors, the reason that we are holding this as a public meeting is because we do have a majority of both the Board of Supervisors and also the Conservation Board, so it has to be a public meeting. As far as formality goes, from here on out, this is going to be run by the conservation folks. But for the good of the auditor's office and for minute taking, when you do speak or do have, at least to get things rolling, do state your name so that it's a part of the public record. And so the meeting is called to order.
Okay, I'm Larry Wilson. I'd like to call the meeting of the County Conservation Board to order. And I don't see any members of the public here. Are there any I don't see? If any should show, we're going to ask them to observe what we do and not participate except at the times when there's public input. So since there's none here, that's a moot question. Then don't have any discussion from the public, so we'll go on to welcome and introductions. And as part of that, I thought I might do a quick review of how we got to where we're at today. And I'll go through it really quickly. First of all, we're all pleased that you could be here. We know how busy you are, and take your time out of your busy schedules to help us plan for our future. And we want you to know your input's very important. And we're so happy that you're here to help us. We've had held a number of public meetings to help guide the Conservation Board in determining the future and focus of where we're going to head. And we had 16 conservation thought leaders, including experts in the field. Johnson County Conservation Board members and members of the Board of Supervisors have all been interviewed and we've gotten their input. And the questions we asked them focused on what they saw as most important environmental and conservation issues today, and what they believe the Johnson County Conservation Board role should be. We also had focus groups that were also conducted with representatives of conservation and environmental groups and the general public over three evenings last June. A total of 36 people participated. And questions were asked to obtain feedback on the importance of what we heard from our thought leaders. So we're carrying those thoughts through and trying to figure out where we go with them. An online survey was conducted with staff using the same questions. Another online survey was conducted during the county fair with 76 people beginning the survey. Because it was a little long and daunting, only 42 completed it. We don't know what happened to them in between, but we presume they survived. An open online public survey publicized through social media was conducted as well, with 92 people completing the survey. So we've gotten a lot of really great input, and we realize that we do not have the resources to be everything to everybody. So we're going to take that information, work through it, and figure out what are the things in the future we should be focusing on. So with that said, in case some of you have glasses that won't focus clear across the room, maybe we have a kind of a go around, and if you give your name and who you represent, and if you want to add anything else, you can go ahead and do that. So, John, would you like to start?
John Etheridge. I represent the people of Johnson County.
Board of Supervisors.
Yeah. Dan Kinsley, Park Ranger for Johnson County.
Charlie Bray, Park Ranger for Johnson County Conservation.
Bill Waldy, Conservation Board.
Wade Schultz, the Conservation Board.
Dory Joseph.
Rod Sullivan, Supervisor.
Jerry
Kramer Reed, Natural Resource Management Specialist, County Johnson County Board.
John Harvey, I'm the mechanic at Johnson County Conservation.
Matt Dringle, Field Worker 1, Johnson County Conservation. Terry Kenny, Field Worker 2, Johnson County Conservation.
Utility Person, Johnson County Conservation.
I'm Gary Pigeon, Johnson County Conservation.
As usual, I currently am the Chair of the Board of Supervisors for almost, what, 3 more weeks. And then Pat's the official guy.
Kate Blake, Natural Resource Manager, Johnson County Conservation.
Rose Graves, Office Manager for 7 more days.
I'm Pat Harney, Johnson County Supervisor. I'm here to observe.
I'm Sydney Augreen. I'm the new naturalist with Johnson County Conservation.
Larry Wilson, current president of Johnson County Conservation Board, and I got about a month left. So I guess by comparison, I'm a long-termer.
Alice at City Conservation Board.
Kimberly Zilberman from the Auditor's Office.
Larry Gullett, Director with the Johnson County Conservation Board, and I just wanted to thank all of you for coming. I echo what Larry said about everybody being busy, and Terrence, your idea of a potluck was outstanding. The food was great. Good idea. Thank you.
I'm Susie Nearing, Assistant County Attorney, and I know many of you here, but I work with the Conservation Food.
I'm Mike Carberry, and I'm a County Supervisor-elect.
Brad Friedup, Conservation Program Manager.
Ryan Moss, member of the Conservation Board, most recent.
And I'm Elaine Cheney. I'm with ICL, the Institute for Conservation Leadership, and I've been working with the Conservation Board and met many of you, or most of you, over the last few months leading up to this, and I'll be guiding us through this evening and tomorrow.
Did we miss anybody? Certainly not. Well, I don't need to introduce Elaine because she just did it herself. Now I'd like to turn it over to Elaine to give us the goals and ground rules for our planning process.
I echo, thank you for coming out. I know I was thinking you folks went through, you had your day today, you did your work today. I know some folks were in meetings all day, you might have been out working in the field, and now you're going to be here till probably 9 o'clock tonight, and let's meet through really fast. And then we'll be coming back together tomorrow from 8:30 in the morning till about 4:30 in the afternoon. So one of the things, what's really kind of neat about this process, and I believe it's different from what the Conservation Board has done in the past, is that we're bringing everybody together into the room this evening. And so that we're able to get the perspective of the folks that work for the Conservation Board, we're getting the perspective of the people on the board, and we're getting the perspective of the Board of Supervisors, which is really, really neat. And what you're going to find over the course of this evening and all day tomorrow is that you're going to have lots of opportunities to work in small groups and really get a chance to dig down into some of the issues and to hear the different perspectives. So our goal for this retreat, first and foremost, we want to share what we've learned from the environmental review. You all got a pretty extensive packet. I'm going to do some of the highlights of it tonight to kind of keep us like there. Oh, yeah, I remember looking at that now. We want to take a look at that and really begin to understand what it means to us. I will say that even in that large packet you got, that was a higher level review of something else. So it's like every time we try to make this a summary and we kind of take it up another level, the detail falls back away. But I have my laptop with me, which has every file of everything we've done over the last 8 months. And so if there's something where we go, wait a minute, what about that? We should be able to, I may not find it fast, but I will find it. So we want to really share what we've learned and get people thinking about that. We want to be able to create a shared vision for the future of the Conservation Board. We want to identify major strategies and explore some of the tough questions. I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we go through this evening and tomorrow. But one of the things that kept, what we found, or what the Strategic Planning Committee, or CORE, planning group found as we were working together is that the same kind of big, tough questions kept popping up and popping up and popping up. And so we are designed this so that we get a chance to really talk about those. And as I said before, we want to utilize the expertise and the perspective of the staff, the board, and the board of supervisors, which just is a really kind of neat way of doing this. So those are our kind of major goals for what we want to accomplish. And just, I know that you have also received a detailed agenda. I want to just tell you, tonight we're going to focus on sharing what we learned from the environmental review and understanding that. And that's all we're going to try to do tonight. And then tomorrow we're going to start off with shared vision. Then we're going to have three rounds of looking at some of the tough questions throughout the day and close out by 4:30. One of the reasons I love this kind of design, even though everybody kind of tired in the evening, is that it gives you a chance. What we're going to do this evening is we're going to hear the results and kind of think about that information from the environmental review, and then you literally get to sleep on it. And I'm sure your brain will just be zooming all night thinking about this, right? And then
dreaming about it.
Yeah. I've always had to run this in my head all night. And then so that tomorrow we come together and we'll be talking about vision and strategies and that sort of thing. So make sense? Okay. A couple other things. I always post the mission of an organization just so that we have it. And so I've posted the mission, which really comes from, get my words right, Larry, it's from the Iowa
Code of Iowa.
So it really, and it's nice and long. To acquire, develop, maintain, and make available to the inhabitants of the county public museums, parks, preserves, parkways, playgrounds, recreational centers, county forests, wildlife, and other conservation areas, and to promote and preserve the health and welfare of the people, to encourage the orderly development and conservation of natural resources, and to cultivate good citizenship by providing adequate programs of public recreation. So that's the mission. That's the mission. The other two things I always put up when I do these kinds of programs or retreats are the backpack and the action item list. Now, as we have a pretty packed agenda, and there's a lot that we want to try to get through, and there may be things that pop up that someone says, you know what, that's actually an action item. I mean, doesn't need to be in the strategic plan. It's something we need to do tomorrow or next week. And so if something like that pops up, anybody can say, you know what, I think that's an action item, and we'll capture it here. And so we won't spend time belaboring it, we'll capture it, and then that will go on someone's agenda moving forward. The other thing is the backpack. I used to call this a parking lot, and work a lot with environmental groups, and it didn't go over very well. So you may somewhere in a meeting been called a parking lot. What it is again, it may be something that comes up this evening or tomorrow that's really important and that we need to spend some time talking about it, but it's not what we're here for today and tomorrow. And so we need to put it in the backpack, take it back with us, and bring it up at a future meeting or in some other venue. And again, anybody can say, you know what, Elaine, I think that's a backpack issue. Let's capture that so we don't lose it and not dig into it right now. Or you can say yourself, I think that's a backpack issue, and I'll say, hey, run up there and put it on the board, and we will capture them. Okay? So action items and backpack. The other thing I'd like to talk about before we kind of jump in are kind of guidelines for working together. I put a couple up here that I thought were important given what we're working on, and there may be a couple others that people want to add. It's not for people to see it. One of the things that's really neat about bringing folks together from the three groups is that you'll get a chance to really hear each other's perspective, and yet you're not used to working together as a team. And so one of the things that I want to be sure is that especially when we're working in the small groups, that we're really getting a chance to hear each other's perspective, because that's kind of what the whole point of this is. So I'm going to ask you to really seek to understand where the other person is coming from and what their perspective is. Oh, I hadn't really thought about that. And share your thinking and share some of the thinking behind your perspective. You know, I feel this way about this issue, and here's why. The more we can understand the assumptions and kind of the thinking process behind people's opinions, the more apt we are to be able to say, oh, actually, I'm closer to agreeing with you than I thought I was. Right? I'm going to ask you to listen actively, which means really listening to passively, kind of letting it go over the top of your head. So I'm going to ask you to really listen to understand, not interrupt the other person when they're sharing. Maybe paraphrase back to make sure that you understood somebody. Maybe ask a clarifying question. So it's a real kind of deep listening kind of thing. Something I'm calling step in and step out. Some of us, just based on our personality styles, are more apt to be the kind of people who will kind of take stuff in and not share. And so you might be someone who likes to think things through a lot before you put your idea out there. We're going to be working in small groups where we want to kind of go around the group and hear where everybody's coming from. So if your style is to kind of hold back, I'm going to ask you to practice stepping in and sharing. And some of us have the style of kind of always being the first one to share our opinion. You know, we're just really good at getting our ideas out there. And if that's more your style, I'm going to ask you to be cognizant about the times that you might need to step out to be sure that we've heard everybody in the And then electronics, either off or mute or something. So, I mean, songs are great, but. Yeah. So those are some of the ones that I thought of. Does anyone have any others that you have found to be very important when you're working with a group that you would like me to add?
Sorry, sorry, she got drama off.
How about timing, about like coming back from like breaks on time and on time, or stay on time perhaps? Is it? Anything else? May I add my last one? Mm-hmm. Can we have fun? Yeah. I love this work, and I love this work because I like to have fun. So this is a great time to really, you know, we started out with a dinner, which was really nice. It was a chance to kind of, you know, connect. And I want to be sure that we've got important work to do, but I also want to be sure that I'm just not mired down in it. Okay. So anything else to add before I check on this? Okay. So let's just go through. How many people, you know, who is willing and able to follow the guideline of speak to understand? I'm not doing a count here. You're going to scream if you're saying no. Share your thinking. Like, oh no. Listen actively. This is all the exercise you get tonight. Step in and step out. Keep them up. Electronics off and mute. Everybody check your pockets real quick. Okay.
Brad didn't raise his hand on that one.
Yeah, there's somebody sort of mine. I know, I'm just going to guess. I hope I turn mine off. Stay on time. I'll do my best. Y'all do your best. Oh, there's the y'all. Sorry, yeah. And have fun. Yeah, we didn't get my longer introduction. I actually, ICL is a nonprofit organization out of the Washington, D.C. area, and our mission is to strengthen individuals and organizations and alliances that protect the earth. So we work with a lot of environmental and conservation kinds of organizations. I'm actually a contract consultant for them. I live outside of Atlanta. and I will say y'all. Because I've done it every single meeting, and usually like, I wasn't going to do it, but there it is. And just to have a little context that connects me somehow to Iowa, both my mother and my mother-in-law grew up in Iowa. My mother grew up in Cedar Falls, and my mother-in-law grew up in Sioux City. So that's my connection to them. Okay, what we want to do is I'd like to go pretty quickly through what I'm going to say is pretty high-level review of the process that we use for the environmental review and some of the information that we found. There's not anything that I'm putting up here that wasn't in that packet. And in fact, I've probably left out some pieces of it and just tried to pick some of the things that I thought would be really important for us to go, oh, yeah.
I'm going to turn the lights down a little bit.
Ooh, don't do it much. Okay. Go find out if we have any snorers in our group. Okay. No snoring or no sleeping. Okay. Okay, let me just kind of set a little bit of the stage of where we are in the overall process of strategic planning. This is something I had meant to say earlier. There is a group of, I think there's about 8 of you that are in this on the strategic planning or core planning group. And I wonder if you could just raise your hand so we know who to... Okay. To complain to. Right. And so I've been working really closely with this group since last kind of late winter, and that group has been very helpful in helping design the process, helping look at the information that we've gathered and figure out and help me see kind of what's coming out of it, because I can look at the themes that I'm seeing, but because I don't know your organization as well, sometimes I can miss something that's important. And also in helping design this particular, our time together. And the first part of the process was the assessment or environmental review. And Larry has mentioned a little bit about the steps in that, and I'm going to kind of walk you back through it again. Then the next piece in the strategic planning is the vision for the future. We're going to be talking about that and really looking at that quite a bit tomorrow morning and setting a shared vision for the future of the Conservation Board. We're going to be looking at both what's your vision for how Johnson County could look different because this organization exists, as well as what's your vision for how the organization might look 5 or 10 years from now. Then we move into strategies to reach the vision and fulfill the mission. There are some strategies already bubbling up. We're going to be talking about some of them in more depth tomorrow. And then coming out of that, we'll be putting a lot more meat around those. And then finally, we end with a more formal written plan that includes goals, objectives, and action plans to reach the strategies to reach the vision. So that's where we are.
Should be late?
Yes.
You mentioned a couple times you're talking about strategy of the board.
Yes.
Is this strategic planning for the future of the board for the Conservation Board or for?
For the organization or the department. Or
okay.
Yes.
Not just for Larry and Ryan
no,
and
it's,
folks on
yeah,
the board.
It's for the people that are the actual complete organization or
okay,
department.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah. Thanks. And I have found in my language that I tend to use Conservation Board, and when I'm using that, I'm talking about the staff and the folks that are on the Johnson County Conservation
Board. By the way, when I use that term, I usually mean the same thing. Staff are
okay.
Part of our board.
Yeah, and so that's, and I would just say anytime you're like, wait, you know, where are we on this? Okay, so just kind of, Larry mentioned this, but let me just kind of go through it really quick again. The first step was I interviewed about 16 thought leaders, some of whom are in the room today, over the course of like April and May, and I asked really big questions there about what do you see as the biggest conservation issues in Johnson County? What do you think the role of the Conservation Board, the whole Conservation Board, should be in addressing those? And really, and then we took that information and we used it to formulate more focused questions for the next round, which the stakeholder focus groups that were held in June. They're held over 3 nights. We invited key members from environmental and conservation groups, as well as the general public. And we kind of dug down into some of those questions at that point. As Larry said, we did the exact same questions for the staff in a online survey. And just for those of you who haven't been as involved, just to know, before we started anything, the very first thing I did was I came out and I interviewed all the staff, either individually or in small groups, just to help me understand the organization. Okay. Then we took the questions from the stakeholder focus groups and the staff survey, and we condensed them some and made them a little bit, you know, they were very open-ended in a focus group. We asked a big, broad question. We captured everything people said. When we did an online survey, we tried to distill that a little bit so people could pick, and we'd be able to analyze it a little bit better. So some of the questions ended up collapsing a little bit for the county fair. And as we said, that we had, you know, 70-some folks started and 42 ended. It was, we tried to make it shorter, but it was still long. Brad and I'm sure some of the others of you were there begging people to take the survey.
Yeah, right.
Well, and I will say, and you'll see this as we go through, that some of the tougher questions that, you know, we took a little bit more like, well, I don't know, that's a good question, were toward the end, and I think that's where people just went, I'm done. And then we took that same survey and put it out online to the public, and we had about 97 folks complete that between August and September. Okay, what we asked. What are the most important conservation environmental issues in Johnson County over the next 5 to 10 years? As I said, I ask it in a broad question with the thought leaders, and then we took some of the things we heard the most and asked people in surveys to say how important are these various environmental issues to you. What should the role of the Conservation Board be in addressing them, especially in the focus groups and in the online staff survey? We had open-ended questions about input on educational and recreational activities. We've got lots of detail on that. If we ever want to kind of pull it back out as we really look at education strategies. And then we asked input on how to spend the remaining bond monies. And that was a tough question. That was the one that people fizzled out on in some cases. Okay. So, you know, what did we learn? We learned I've condensed this, and so we learned lots of things, but we certainly learned that the mission of the Conservation Board is very important to the citizens of Johnson County. And this is one of if you're someone who like brings your packet with you, this is on page 14 of your packet. We ask, how important do you think access, and this kind of becomes sort of, this is sort of the pieces of the what the organization is responsible for: access to natural resources, conservation and preservation of natural resources, and outdoor recreational opportunities are to the future residents of Johnson County. And as you can see, this has the county fair and the online public survey, because they were the ones that were asked in just this clear a manner. And the average of the two groups was 83.5% thought it was very important. And the rest of them, 16.5, thought it was important. So there wasn't anyone who said this wasn't important. Now, I'm very aware of the fact that we kind of self-select on these sorts of things. The person who came to your booth and was willing to take the questionnaire was probably interested in conservation. The person who followed the link onto the online survey is probably interested in conservation. And so we kind of know we have that bias, perhaps, the people who came to the focus groups. And there's a theme around that we might want to talk about, we'll talk about some tomorrow. These next two slides are actually in the back of your packet, but I pulled them up here because I thought they were important, page 24 and 25. We ask people in the county fair survey and the public online survey, which of the current public use areas that the Conservation Board is managing, had they visited over the last year. And this is listed as percent of the respondents who visited each area. So, you know, we can see very clearly, you know, folks, the Kent Park is where folks have, the majority of folks have actually come out there and visited. I think that's actually 76%, this particular Kent Park. But what's interesting to me is that there aren't any of them that someone hadn't visited. And when you get down here to the bottom where they were allowed to say, I haven't visited any of these, or I'm not sure I have, we only had 12 people out of the, this is a total of 164 folks here, 12 people that said, I don't know that I've been to one. So folks are using them. And then we also ask what outdoor recreation activities they or a member of their family participated in, and they could check as many as they wanted. Okay, so, you know, we see that hiking and walking, biking, and then relaxation in the parks are really the highest up there. But there's folks, again, there's a lot of people involved in a variety of conservation-related activities, outdoor kinds of activities. I will say that swimming, I missed in putting in the questionnaire for the county fair, and a lot of people wrote it in, so I added it. So this percentage down here is only the percentage of the folks that completed the public survey. Like, oh, swimming. I missed swimming. Any questions? Yeah, so let me kind of work through this and we'll just see other questions folks might have, or just yell if you have one. So the conservation and environmental issues, as I said, the list that we asked on the more structured surveys was based on input from the thought leader interviews. So we heard from them over and over again, sort of thematically certain issues, then we used those in the focus groups and online surveys. Now, you'll see that nothing is unimportant. And part of this has to do with the way in which we did these questions. We wanted to know whether each of these issues were important to people, rather than asking them to say, to rank them. We thought about ranking and said, no, we just want to know. If all of these are important, we want to know. So one of the themes that, and I will say that one of the themes that kind of popped up from the beginning with the interviews had to do with water and water quality. Even the thought leaders and the people I talked to with just the idea, especially not only of rivers, but also creeks and streams and the whole idea that it's a huge issue and it has a lot of impact on other issues in the county. So people rated either very important or vital. 89% of the folks said water quality and flooding. 76% said restoring ecosystems to their natural state. And then 76% also said loss of biosensitive or natural resource areas. Sometimes it's fun. Now, these graphs, you can, every time I look at them, I notice something else. This is the graph that goes along with that particular piece. So the question was, you know, how important is it to address each of the following conservation and environmental issues in Johnson County over the next 5 to 10 years? These are the percentage of the different groups that rated it as important or vital. And these bolded is the average of the groups. You can see the dark bluish purple. The purple up here is the online public survey. This green is the county fair. The red is the environmental focus groups, and we had some public focus, members of the public at that particular the focus groups as well. And the blue is the staff. So water quality and flooding really pops up there for everybody. Loss of the biosensitive or special natural areas, especially for the environmental folks who really are a lot of those are people are working on that sort of thing. And then we go to lack of, this is interesting to me, and I'm not I've got some theories about it. I'm not completely sure what it means. Lack of opportunities for people to connect with nature. The environmental conservation groups and the staff rated that higher than the general public, but here's what I'm thinking about with this, is that that general public were people that are already connected to nature. You know, so it may be that they're just not tracking that. Okay. Any questions about that before I...
I thought it was interesting that the staff felt like the effects of climate change was, well, only 30% of the staff thought that was important.
I think it's interesting that the majority of the staff thinks invasive species is cool.
Shocking, isn't it? Right. Yeah, it is kind of, you know, it's sort of, that's what's fun about looking at it this way. If we smushed them all in together, you wouldn't kind of, you wouldn't see this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else before I move forward? Okay, so then we ask questions about the Conservation Board's current role, and we ask people how important they felt those roles were for the Conservation Board. And again, it's like, you know, everything's important. In fact, this is kind of funny. The focus groups, when we did these questions, and some of you came to one of those and you saw how we did it, we actually put the questions up on flip chart paper. And it was like a survey, but it was up on the wall, and we gave people dots, and they let them put their dot, whether they vote, we're going to say not important or important or very important. And then we did a little bit of conversation at the end of the evening about, well, now that we see this up on the wall, what stands out for you? And people said, it's all important. Yeah, I'm afraid so. However, there's a little slight difference. The acquiring and protecting biosensitive land or special natural resource areas and restoring and maintaining natural resources on the acquired land, ever so slightly more important than the other roles. And let's look at this. So this is page 16, if you'd like to look at that in your... So... the question was, how important is it for the Johnson County Conservation Board to apply its resources, money, staff, energy, to each of the following? And this is the percentage that rated each of these as very important. We had acquire and protect biosensitive land or special natural resource areas, restore and maintain natural resources on the acquired land, provide hands-on nature education opportunities, improve access to nature, and develop trails for biking and hiking. And as I said a moment ago, you can see that restore and maintain and acquire and protect come up highest. There's a couple of, well, I would just ask the groups, anything that pops out for you on this? Just a couple of.
The importance of trails and biking.
Talk loud.
Sorry.
Everyone's got to talk loud so they can pick up on that.
I'm reverting back to my old self. I'm sorry.
You're talking.
Yeah. The development of trails, biking, and hiking, just looking at the public's perspective on that is actually an improved access to nature. Looking at the online public survey, I mean, they're actually very close together, but they're pretty low.
Yeah. You're going to see what happens when we add in the important ones, and it all pops up. But I pulled this out because what happened was, unless I really tried to look at what were the top priorities, it all just became all important. And I thought, somehow we have to see, is there something more or less important? Yeah, so this piece down here, we can debate kind of what that's about, whether it's that we kind of already see some of that happening, and they're not looking... I'm not sure. One of the things that I noticed was that the providing hands-on nature education opportunities and improving access to nature comes out very, very high. In fact, the highest for those environmental and conservation groups, because they're worried about that. We spent a lot of time in those small groups, you know, talking about how do we find ways for people who aren't already interested in nature and aren't already going out for them to connect better with nature. And if you're, there were a lot of conversation about that, and it might have to do with transportation issues of whether you can get out to a Kent Park or the other pieces, or it could have to do with comfort level, you know, like, I'm not so sure about camping, you know, I don't know quite how to camp, I don't have the equipment to camp, and so especially in the conversations in those focus groups, people really felt like, you know, somehow we need to figure out how to do this, and they really saw it as a role for the Conservation Board to try to work on. Okay, so here's what happens when you add in the important two. Right. It all just booms right all the way over. I mean, you can see a bunch of these, you know, if they're not 100%, they're so close to it that you can't hardly tell the difference. And so I think it's important to remember that while a couple of those things are higher priority, we're not hearing from people that, you know, don't bother with this. Which is, you know, good in some ways, and when I'm working with a group to try to prioritize in their planning, it's sort of like, oh, gee. Yeah. it would have been nice to have something real clear and said, do this. And so now it's do this.
Right. You know, one thing that you may need to do, sir, to help understand this is that when you interviewed the thought leaders who are really advanced people and deal with conservation, they're within their lives or profession, since these questions were developed based on input from the thought leaders, this kind of confirms that the thought leaders nailed it.
Excellent point. Yeah.
I mean, these people that really think a lot about these things, the public agrees with their perspective.
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. And, you know, I have been spending the last few days kind of going back through more of the detail behind this and trying to remember those interviews I did and kind of remember the focus groups, so I kind of had it in my gut a little bit more. And I looked, and yeah, this is what, you know, people were really bringing up right from the start.
Elaine?
Yes.
The thing that struck me about the last couple slides is the lower scores of the hiking and biking trails. And even though they're important, they're not as important. But I think if you ask people that, and I've been meeting the last 3 days with development people, Convention and Visitors Bureau, the people, trails and trail connectivity is really important if you're looking for tourism, tourism dollars, economic development, those sort of things. But so those people probably weren't included in this. But and I think realtors would be interested in that as well. I mean, subcategories of what's important to people. That, you know, if you live close to a trail, property is worth more money.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. So that's something I was thinking about here.
Yeah, and some of the things that they are hearing people are looking for in picking a new community.
Yeah,
that's very interesting.
Something that struck me about it too, Larry Wilson, is that the first and last are things you can do with bond money, and some of the others are more operational. So they're different funding sources, and that makes it a little different type of delivery.
Yep, good point.
Okay, Elaine, this is Joel. Yes. I'm also looking at this as, okay, if the score is lower, how can the girl be interested in that one as well? It's not just the, here's how they did all this, not much years they'll spend, but how do they grow the interest to get more people aware?
Yeah, and what's interesting to me, so we can kind of pick on the, you know, trail and biking and hiking because it's lower, that's sort of surprising in some ways, and yet go back to the activities that people are doing, and it was biking and hiking, and then relaxation in the park were the three top, you know, and so, yeah.
And even with that, there's still a significant portion of the
survey. Yes. Right.
I think it would be, Brad Friedhoff, I think it would be very interesting to compare this type of a survey in a county that's just beginning trail development with a county that's already got a very established trail system. Because I was that kind of kid that I didn't know I wanted it until I had it. Then once I had it, oh, I got to have that. That's a,
right.
That's a need. So, you know, we don't have extensive trails in the community or the county yet. Mm-hmm. And so maybe people don't realize, hey, we really want more of those. Now that we have one, we really want more of those.
Right.
So that could be a potential.
Could be.
As well.
I think the other thing, this is Ryan Moss, I think the other thing is you have to look back at the original question. Right. This is asking how important is it for JCCB?
Right.
It's not necessarily a value judgment overall on each of those things. It's should the JCCB be applying its resources to X, Y, Z, A, B, C?
Great. Good. Yep.
The trail and stuff like that, you know, what is their perception of the type of trail that you're talking about? We don't have no idea what they're thinking about. Are we thinking about the concrete sidewalk connecting the mall to, you know, my house
right.
subdivision? Mm-hmm. Are you talking about a nature trail where you get away from the city a little bit and get away from the noise of the city and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. So without knowing those things, it's pretty hard to narrow that down to why that percentage is so low.
Yeah, I mean, we try in these things, but you know, and that's it's real. That's a really interesting point, Dan, because in the focus groups where we actually had a question about recreational activities or something like that. That was an open-ended conversation in a small group. People talked about the difference between the different kinds of trails and who might be more interested in different ones. And do you want a nature hike where you really want a soft surface up through the nature kind of trail, or do you want something you can ride your bike to try to get out toward?
My perception of a trail is like a road. You know, you don't build a road on a scenic byway and call it, other than a scenic byway, but mm-hmm. if it just goes inland and you can't see anything, you wouldn't label it as a scenic byway.
Right.
So the same as a trail. I mean, a trail should have some interest to the person using it.
Yeah. So interesting stuff. Thanks. Partnerships. The whole idea of, and I know that you folks do lots and lots and lots of partnerships. Even beginning with the thought leader interviews, people talked about the importance of partnerships. Some of the people I interviewed were people you partner with, And the same thing with the focus groups, environmental and conservation groups. Those were a lot of your partners there. So they certainly know how important that is and that you're doing it. And yet it still just kept coming up. The more that we can partner with other organizations or groups to be able to do more with what we have, the better off we're going to be. And this particular question was kind of put back into that public survey. And so this is a very specific question. And 89% of the respondents in the public survey indicated that it is very important or vital for, and this is what it said on the question, I want to be sure I said it this way, for private organizations, businesses, and public agencies to form partnerships in order to address conservation issues in Johnson County. I do remember in the focus groups hearing a lot of input about, what about other parts of the county government? How do the different pieces of the county work together on some of these things? How do... as well as all the conservation groups and schools and things like that. So it's clearly something we want to continue to do well and more of. Education activities and outreach. I think I've shared with Brad, and if you can't find it someday, I'll find the file and send it to you again. But when we did the focus groups, and we asked this question about what are some creative ways that we can, connect people better with nature. We had all sorts of ideas, many of which you're already doing, but that's okay. We were just trying to capture them. But even beginning with the interviews with the thought leaders, people were saying we need to do more and more and more to help connect people with nature and through educational activities and outreach. And one of the things that's interesting to me to think about is that you, and I think the environmental experts, and including yourselves, know this, but one of the ways in which you do protect the natural resources, in addition to setting aside land and managing it, is to educate the public on how to better protect natural resources. So they're doing it on their own properties, you know, and in their own lives. And so it's kind of interesting. There was a lot of, we know they're doing a lot. We'd like to see more. We asked people, who should be the target audience, and it was kind of everybody. Like, okay, all right. But people did talk about children. They talked about families with children as well, but they kind of stuck with everybody. And I just pulled a few kinds of things that were the themes that I heard from the focus groups that were kind of interesting, because I heard them over and over again, three nights in a row. First was just, the more we can get the word out about the things that you sponsor or the partner events. I mean, I know I've actually have liked you guys on Facebook, so I know a lot of that stuff pops out there, and if people are connected via Facebook, they're seeing it. And there's constantly things that are being shared that may not be things that you folks are actually sponsoring, but you're kind of getting the word out. But some things that people, I said, well, what are some creative ways to reach people who are not currently connected to nature? And the kinds of things that popped up were kind of themed events and festivals. I guess the idea, people come out for festivals kind of idea. So if you got them out for a festival that somehow connected with some of the things that you do, they might come because it's a blank festival. I don't know what would be cool here, right? And we have opportunities to connect to nature. Expand collaborations, take education to the people, different venues, and identify programs to increase the accessibility. And by accessibility, I'm meaning that it might have to do with whether people can get to things, transportation kinds of issues, as well as accessibility around physical disabilities and being able to access various areas. Okay. So we asked folks what their vision for the future was for acquisitions, and an average of 64% of participants rated the following as either high priority or vital. And if you add in the important, you get up to 93 to 97%. Unique or special environmental areas and land along rivers and streams. This hooks back to that water quality piece. However, much like the rest of them, if you put everything in together, everything's important, right? So let's just peek at this. So the question, what is your vision for the types of land that Johnson County Conservation Board should acquire for protection and preservation? This is high priority or vital. Again, we've got the same, purple is the online public, green is county fair, red is environmental groups, blue is the staff. And you can see with this unique and special environmental areas and land along rivers and streams pop out highest. This connecting to or near current holdings came out pretty important for the environmental groups and for the staff, but not as much so, and that makes sense. You're the ones that understand not only the corridor kind of concept, but also what it takes to try to manage them, right, and maintain them. So I get it. Again, it's not quite as high, but this is land that the Conservation Board should acquire for protection and preservation. Any comments before I pop through this? Okay, here's what happened. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was struck. One of the things I was struck with, this is Ryan Moss.
Yeah.
I was struck by the relatively low priority, at least these being high priorities, of land throughout the county. One of the slides that you haven't shown yet that's in your background materials is a good map showing all of the conservation areas. And, the southwestern quadrant, roughly, of the county. There's Frytown, mm-hmm. Then there's the IDNR Redbird Farms property, which is actually shown but not labeled, and a few other natural areas. But for the most part, it has the lowest density.
Yes.
And, I guess I was just struck by that not having as, or being as much of a guiding principle mm-hmm. as some of these others, because I know that it enters our discussions with the board as far as how does this serve the citizens in Johnson County? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think these other sort of concepts maybe do weigh more, but I was just glad to see this slide.
Well, you know, Larry Wilson, along with the same idea, it kind of struck me that I wonder if you can interpret it to mean that the distribution of these lands is not as important as to get them for spatial purposes and reasons, which kind of surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, rather than take the land to where the people are generally scattered, focus on spatial planning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can recall when I was doing the interviews of the thought leaders right at the beginning, and I was really kind of pushing folks to help give us some priority on that, and they didn't want to go there because it was like they really wanted the conservation board to be free to be able to, if some really unique area came up, be able to say, you know what, this is an amazing area and we need to grab it now, even if it doesn't quite fit into some of these other priorities. And there was a real focus among those the experts, the thought leaders, of not wanting to be too restrictive in their guidance for you folks, because they really trusted you to be able to identify places that needed protection or that made sense, and they didn't want to kind of hold you back. So I thought it was interesting. Yeah, I mean, some of them were just like, you know, I'm not going to tell you. Like, okay, next question. So, but here's the thing, Ryan, you put in the moderate, and then it all just pops out. Yep. So, yeah. So, gee whiz, no easy answers, right? Now, these are the questions that, this is where we finally tried to force some prioritization on people. And the thought leaders that I interviewed pretty much refused to answer these.
So did some of the fairgoers.
So did some of the, yeah, this is, and these are the questions at the end where the fairgoers says, I'm not, that's it, that's too hard. And, but we were just like, gosh, can we get some help on this? So the questions were designed to force.
I think you had at least one that said, let the Board of Supervisors
decide. At least one option.
Here's on the counter. You're ready.
Who was that? No, I'm just kidding.
Right. An easy answer.
Yeah, so we forced it, and when it was done online, it was actually forced so that things had to add up to 100%, and they had to keep messing with it till it didn't. No wonder they just went, you know, I can't subtract tonight, I'm done, right? I get it. So, you know, here they are. In your opinion, what percentage of the remaining monies from the $20 million conservation bond should be spent on each of the following? Now, I set this up a little bit differently because I wanted to show it a little bit differently. So, so each line is a different target group: online public survey, county fair, environmental groups, and the staff. And the blue is the average folks in that group thought should be used for acquisition, and the red is the average that those folks in that group said used for developed lands. Now, I will tell you that the range in these is 100%. There were people that put zero for one and 100, and they did it on both these. There were people that put zero for develop and 100 in land, and there were people that did it the opposite way, said don't buy any more, spend the money to develop and take care of what you have. And it was all over the place. But it does kind of average out. Just so, I think the thing that's interesting to me is how close those percentages really are. Acquire, but the acknowledgement that monies need to be spent to, if you just acquire and don't take care of things, you haven't accomplished a whole lot. And then just to make them really aggravated.
This is one of my favorites.
This one's kind of fun. So, I always have to read it to be sure I'm saying it right. of the monies used for acquisition of lands. Okay, so now we're saying, okay, if this is the money we're going to use for acquisition of lands, for public access, what percentage do you believe should be used to address each of the following conservation issues? We had water quality in rivers, lakes, and streams, protect forests for air quality, protect natural areas and habitat from development, provide parks, and provide trails. And when you push it, this water quality and protect natural areas and habitat from development kind of pop out there, really for all groups. I mean, the percentage is different, but if you look at it closely, it's the largest percentage for all of them. Maybe not by a whole lot, it may vary, but it is there. And that's kind of interesting. Again, water quality and these kind of special areas just keep popping up. And then we did the same question for the other piece. Of the monies used to develop lands for public access, what percentage do you believe should be used to address each of the following conservation issues? Same issues. Again, water quality in rivers, lakes, and streams, and protect natural areas and habitats from development. Like, this is the big stuff. So there were more graphs and much more detail in the longer report, but I thought, you know, if I go through the report, you know, talk about snoozing, right? Plus, you've had a chance to look at it. I just wanted to kind of get it out here in front of folks. What I would like to do then for the most of the rest of the evening is have time for you. We're going to increase that 15 minutes by a bunch. Have you work in small groups to talk about what stands out. Don't you love when you find your typo?
Stands are.
Yeah.
The spell check is just cannot figure out what you think.
Doesn't matter how many times you look at it, right? What stands out for you from this information, and what strategic issues, too? There is, again, do we need to focus on? Yeah, it was near the end. You know, I was losing it.
Out where your T for Owens.
Yeah, exactly. You're only one letter off. Not that bad.
Hopefully, I wrote them on flip charts, too. Maybe I did it wrong there, too. I usually discover it. Anyway, and here's what we're going to do now. We have created a wonderful puzzle of how you get into small groups. And here's you're going to be in small groups this evening, groups of probably about five. We have a couple folks out sick tonight. And then you're going to be in small groups about three times again tomorrow. And each time you're in a small group, it's going to be a little bit different group so that you get a chance to interact with different people. And we very carefully put this together so that all the groups have somebody from the board of the Conservation Board, someone from the Board of Supervisors, and staff members, so that we're getting a chance, as I said before, to hear different perspectives. So the magic puzzle. There's one thing we need to do differently for this. This way, give you guys some.
This is a grass. No trains. Are you serious? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, right. Anytime I see it. Yeah, right. So you don't
Yeah. Okay, we'll want lights, right? Yep. And here's the other thing that we need to be sure to do, and catch me anytime I don't remember to do this, going back and forth, is that Kimberly is taking minutes when we're together in a large group. When we move into the small groups, we kind of recess from the formal meeting so that we can talk in the small groups and we record our information there and then bring it back. So each time we tonight and then again tomorrow when we do this kind of process. When we move into small group work, we're going to recess the formal meetings, and then we'll reconvene the formal meeting when we come back. And if I don't remember to do that at some point and remind you, just follow. Okay. So over here, let me just tell you a little bit about how this works. Over here, we have set up. Table 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And at each table, we have pad of paper and easel. We have sticky notes, and we have pens. And what I'm going to ask you to do is, forget how much time. We still not have anyone from the public. Okay, we're going to use the time. Restroom break. We'll take a short. Yeah. You want the instructions quick so you remember? Okay. Let's take about a 10-minute break and reconvene in your groups at, we're going to use that clock, let's say, it's actually a 12-minute break, at 20 after. And I'm going to give you a good 45 minutes, and we'll see where we are on that, okay?
There's still food over there. You need more.
You can get food.
Use the restroom, come back, get more food.
And when you're in your small groups, please, what we want to do is hear everyone's perspective, so go round robin and get each person's input, pass your own on a flip chart, and we'll post those flip charts, and we'll hear back from the small groups.
So the conservation board is in recess.
Right. They're ready. Here they come. Two
questions separately, so it means we're going to do two kind of quick rounds rather than hearing everything from group one and then group two. So here's the process. Larry would officially reconvene us.
Yep. We're very busy over here. We split a brownie.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to hear back from each group around the first question. I'm going to ask you, your spokesperson, to share what you talked about. We'll kind of hold your flip chart up, and then I will take your flip chart over. We'll create a wall of information over there. So we will actually go through the groups twice. And then we'll just kind of see what stands out for us, and that will probably take us to the end of the evening. So do we want to go in order of groups? Do we want to start with, let's do that. Group one, who's the spokesperson for group one?
I'll hold it for you if you want.
I'll hold it, I don't mind doing that.
I'm
going to
put on the wall.
That's
very nice, handwriting. Beautiful handwriting. Yes. Question one.
Larry
Wilson was the writer. So if you think somebody's a serial killer.
I want to read that.
So I think one thing that we were all kind of happy about in our group actually was that the experts and the public and the staff seem to be pretty similar in terms of what they thought. So we thought that is a really good thing. We also know that everything's important and the expectations are really high and everybody expects everything they expect it now. We also talked about sort of needing to get people to get involved in the process so that they have a better understanding from the beginning, kind of why some of the things are happening, when they are, how they are, that kind of thing. We came around a lot frequently. We kept coming back around to people need to understand what we're doing, why we're doing, it, when we're doing it. So.
Great. Is this a clapping?
Okay. Brad wrote this, so if I can't read it,
he's not a serial.
He's a lefty, and he was kind of writing at an angle. So what stand out for our group was how land acquisition, I think, came up kind of to the top. And I'm not sure what the accessibility, what that meant.
Land accessibility, we showed people right down that people wanted high accessibility land.
Yeah. Okay. Another surprise for us was how low the climate change issue was, and we maybe thought that that was because maybe that's just not the conservation board's job. That's society's issue. You know, stop using fossil fuels. How is the conservation board going to affect that? Even though climate change can tie into a lot of the issues, the water and all the other things that we do, just maybe not be our job to deal specifically deal with it. I think positive feelings about everything. People love us, love what we do, want us to do it more. They're willing to raise their own taxes to do it. I guess people were surprised that the water, the quality and the quantity was number one. It was a surprise to some people. How public views how we should spend the bond money, again, land acquisition versus maintenance of the land. So spend the money, buy it now. It's not going to be there if we don't buy it now. How are we interpreting the responses to low trail numbers?
No, it was just the responses to the questions.
To the questions. Okay, got
so
it.
How are we interpreting all the data up there?
Yeah. And then another surprise for some of us was the low numbers on, you know, for trails, et cetera. And we maybe interpret that to thinking that, well, maybe City of Coralville should be doing that, or maybe the City of Iowa City should be doing that. That maybe our job, unless it's in the county and
in areas that maybe it's not our job, or we just don't really know why the low trail numbers, so we're a little surprised by that. Depth of service requests and recreational activities.
I was kind of going back to that. Everybody wants everything now.
Okay.
Everybody wants everything.
Again, the development versus acquisition. We can always develop it later. We can always go to Terrence for more money. And, you know, but if we can't buy it now, because of the pressures of development, and Johnson County being the second fastest growing county in the state, if we don't buy the unique properties now, the other natural areas, they'll be gone. There'll be housing developments on it, possibly. Who knows? So, and the purposes of buying land adds value.
Why are we buying the parcel?
Yeah.
We thought that was unique. So there was a lot of different reasons for why people were buying land.
Yeah.
Or why the conservation part was buying land.
That's it.
Get out of your way, please. This isn't my handwriting, but I like cereal.
Lucky Charms. What is it?
Thank you. I'll be here for a couple more weeks. My group, we call ourselves the Nitpickers. So, number one, difference between staff and focus group on invasives. We think there may be a slight disconnect there, and maybe if they work today with conservation or volunteer today with conservation. So that was one thing that that we got out of it. We were curious on if the survey results might be a little different if flooding was taken out of the water quality, to see if that would still get garner the same results, or higher results, or lower results. That was one thing we were just curious about, because a lot of people are really concerned about flooding. A lot of people are concerned about water quality. And so, number three, natural state versus functional state. So, I don't know how many of us were around, 150 years ago. I wasn't. So it's one of those things where restoring something to its natural state could be impossible. However, restoring it to a functional state is something conservation is definitely capable of doing in just about any area. So getting that out there, so when people go out there and say, oh, this is the way it was 150 years ago, well, you're going to be told by Jeremy and a bunch of other people, no, it wasn't. It's close, but that's not the way it was. Number four. Trails, second, how low trails was on the priority list, but how it could actually tie into a couple of the other priorities that scored a little higher, hands-on opportunities, as well as connect to nature, and provide habitat and viewing of that. Number five, environmental education is important for all. I think that was self-evident, but we wanted to make sure you all knew that. And six, the interconnectivity between the issues and how they actually tied back together, and how one issue could stand alone, but by doing that one issue, you can actually accomplish maybe two or three. So just the interconnectivity is another thing that stood out to us.
Thank you.
We ended up, I don't know if you can read the cursive, sorry. They tell me they're not teaching handwriting in school anymore. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ta-da.
Sorry. Our group was also surprised, I guess, the water quality issues were such a priority among all responding groups. I think that was a takeaway, that not just, say, the environmental groups or staff, but all responding groups recognize water quality issues. We also stumbled on the distinction between flooding and water quality, particularly given the timing of the surveys. with the 2014 flooding events being fresh in everybody's mind, with those two subjects being combined, there may have been, that may have been part of the strong response. Although there, I'm sure there are people in all of the responding groups who are very cognizant of some of the water quality issues too, it's just we don't know that difference. Then we talked about some of what wasn't maybe reflected in the surveys. One thing with, say, the partnership, if partnerships were considered important by the responding groups, why have there been low or no requests for funds to be offered up to incentivize innovation by third-party applicants? So in other words, are there people, and if not, are there people coming to conservation boards saying, hey, we have this neat idea for a project, why don't you throw in with us, send some money our way to help do it, that sort of thing. And if partnerships in the public eye are so important and vaunted, why haven't we seen that, those sorts of requests that we have maybe in the past not been able to answer? And then we started talking about more, this is where we started sliding into the strategic issues, but that there's an absence of sharing the burden with partners. I think someone mentioned that that municipalities may not have either the capacity or the interest in the present political and tax environment to do much sharing of project costs. And then we don't know what's going to come down the pipe for trails and what the next kind of big thing will be after trails. What are communities or growing communities going to look for when trails are passe, and what's the next kind of public amenity that group that communities will be looking for? And there was also a comment that we would have liked to have had all of Johnson County respond to the survey, and not just people who are already kind of cognizant of these issues.
I'd like to thank Sydney for being our scribe and the whole freaking group for making this book. We kind of slid all over the place, our group. We're having fun. One of the first things we thought about was, okay, you had a lot of respondents, but it seemed like it was such a small portion of the county that made us think, how do you get more people involved? What is our target market? How do we get more people to even care what we're doing and understand it? So we thought reaching out, the PR aspect is lacking. We're just going to get more people to be aware. And as Ed Pringle pointed out, too many of these people are on their joysticks and their, you know, computer games. How do we get them to put it down for just a minute to really experience the unique values we have to offer? Water quality is a biggie. Pat Harney, he pointed out the environmental aspects, but just from his own land that he owns, the erosion aspects, all the tiling we're doing. How do we get people to understand what I do here, how that's going to affect over here, and not just today, because let's face it, we all like short-term feel-goods. What's the long-term effect of those kind of things? And to help educate people, but we got to do it in a way that connects, because each of you learn a different way. We all do. And it's almost like you have one question you're trying to get out to people, but you got to structure it different ways so you connect to the different people. And are we being too monotone in how we connect today? Do we need to be more stereoized or do something differently? And the other thing was how to get people to think about the future, not just what's going on today. How to get them to hear the interactions and what those are going to do for the future. And I remember I used to work in a bank. I would have to audit safe deposit boxes when people died. And a lot of people who were in the Depression had no money in the bank, but
a boku bucks in their safe deposit box, earning nothing, but to them was safe. So it's kind of coming across the, all these perceptions. It's we have facts, what's the perception of the facts?
Okay, now we're going to circle back around, and here's folks' responses to what strategic issues do we need to focus on. Group number one is taking.
Are you doing it again?
Yep.
This is only day one.
Sort of charge. If you were spokesperson this evening, you could say someone else has to do it tomorrow.
Really, we came back around again. Our focus was people need to understand what the Conservation Board is doing, why, when. You know, so you can go out and you can buy a property, but it can be the best property in the world, but until people understand why it is the right property at the right time, you know, there's a salesmanship that has to take place there every time, and we got to really get in front of those. We talked about taking some kind of inventory of just all the land in Johnson County that's in private hands that would be things that somewhere down the road we'd like to acquire. Doesn't mean we'll ever have a shot at it, but if we need to know it's there, which would be kind of a big task, but it's something we need to be looking at. We talked about connecting lands that we already have, connecting the lands we have to lands that other groups manage, connecting other groups' land to ours. We need talked about buffering land that we already have. We talked about the fact that, like, for example, the Clear Creek Trail, one of the biggest lovers of the fact that we acquired all that is Kelly Hayworth with the city of Coralville, because that creek runs into Coralville and floods it. And the idea that there's not any parking lots or anything and that that's maintained, you know, he's a huge fan of that acquisition, but we don't really use him in terms of making the pitch for why it's such a good thing. So it's that kind of partnership and stuff that we need to do more of.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
You want to do this?
Ron, we get this one?
Yes.
So, strategic plan issues we came up with, how to address maintenance, staffing, and finance issues for the future, how to be efficient, focused, and stay guided with limited resources for all of our projects in the future. We use the old Bo Jackson thing, just do it. Sometimes we get overly concerned or almost paralyzed with worry about, well, if we get it, what's going to happen? Can we take care of it? How do we address that and just go out and do it, and you'll be amazed at what you can do if you just do it. Prioritize project, how to say no or delay projects to meet the finances and resources that we have. It's $20 million, sounds like a lot of money, but we're burning through it. We've got stuff ready to go, and how are we going to be prepared to, after that's used up, to complete projects that are in the hopper that want to be done. How to address development rates and growth. Johnson County, more than most of the place in the state of Iowa, is growing and developing quicker and faster. How do we as a conservation board address those things? How do we address communication outreach? A lot of people have talked about that. And how do we continue to leverage money with bonds and private partnerships, grants, et cetera, et cetera.
All right. For strategic, I'll just read this because it's much easier. Focus on H2O quality by acquiring lands that have biosensitive or special natural resources. Restoring ecosystems to a functional state by controlling and managing invasive species. 3, this will create more opportunities for people to connect with nature and provide more opportunities for the public. For more hands-on opportunities for the public. When considering the construction of trails, prioritize preservation of natural areas above construction of trails, and 5, focus on projects that can accomplish more than one priority. And we also came up with, you know, getting people from out from behind their joystick, why not just make a conservation video game? So we came up with some names, you know, Wii Conservation, Sims Conservation, Conservation Call of Duty, Conservation Halo, Battle the Invasives.
We know which table took that one.
Yeah, exactly.
As I said earlier, our discussion kind of went back and forth between strategic issues and items that were or concepts that we took away from the background information. Like some of the other groups, like John just mentioned, projects that address more than one focus category or conservation issue should be favored. We need to plan for our forecast growth and the demographics of that growth. There's a disconnection to nature and perhaps even a growing disconnection to nature. What are the barriers? We're not answering that in tonight's session, but we're just saying that's a question that needs to be asked and possibly answered by the JCCB. Ethnic communities, education, minority populations, and outreach to those populations is part of planning for our forecast growth. There's also changes in uses. There's like taking the winter season, for example, there's a decrease in cross-country skiing use, but sledding is popular, bow hunting is up, and ice fishing remains active when we have ice. It's pretty active when you don't have good ice. Like other tables noted, communicating the accomplishments of the board is important. I'm sorry, of the bond. So communicating the accomplishments of the bond money to the public. I think just basically making a unilateral comment, I think we are going to have some exciting things to talk about in the next 6 to 18 months. So that, and that fits in with this overall outreach and communication. I think tomorrow we're going to probably have some good ideas about that. Also, think more about revenue generating activities and uses. I think some of us in the conservation community tend to downplay that. There are ways that we are currently doing revenue generation and possibly even more that we're talking about. Partnerships, sponsorships of infrastructure and amenities, and then some issues like water quality affect more than just one activity. There's a ripple effect, no pun intended, if you will, to issues like water quality. And that fits in with some of the other groups talking about the projects that address more than one conservation issue. We're going to be back.
Thank you.
Strategery. We thought water quality, besides being an issue for people, would also be a great way to demonstrate what we do and what we can do. I mean, people look at water in different ways. I want to have a nice glass of water to drink out of. I want to wash my clothes and not have them be stained with rust. I want to flush the toilet. So it's important for everybody. And, well, you don't flush?
Not every time. Let's just put it that way.
I grew up in the country.
Dr. Schultz. But anyway, the water quality issue is huge, and we can use that as a way to connect with different people in different ways. And also, let's get the press involved. This is a great story. We're going to be doing also at Kent Park, not just making the lake look good, but how do we affect land around it? You know, Pat put on the fact that, you know, all this tiling
that's just a straight roller coaster shot of nitrates right through the streams. That's why it's such a big dead zone at the Mississippi Delta.
Here's another thing. Erosion control is also a biggie.
Creating more of awareness of our resources, not just where they are, but why they're cool. You go out to the Solon Prairie, and it looks like a weed patch. But it's not. It's an environmental ecosystem, and here's why it's kind of cool. You go to Winter's Prairie, what a great gem that is. But unless you had the opportunity to hear Wade or Jeremy expound about it, you don't know. And, you know, we need an app or something like that to go with it, or more interpretive science, or something that's connected with the Ed Kringle group who like their games and the Game Boys. Let's see. And I think Sydney made a very good point, drawing more people in and awareness of what we're doing, but not necessarily the way we've been doing it. Are there other kind of events, festivals? Get the CAM bus to come out once in a while with people. Make it more accessible for different areas. And here again, it's a teaching that opportunity. And also another big thing we're concerned about is, as we expand, can we maintain these properties in a manner, in a condition that will be conducive to people to enjoy them? The maintenance thing is, the staff is so great, but we can only do so much. So how do we encourage compassionate people to volunteer and do things? Retirees like me, we got time on our hands. We can do these kind of things. We just need to know what's out there and available. And of course, expanding the communication and the outreach. The communication is big, as Brad pointed out. Making people aware of our accomplishments, making people aware that they have a voice, they can speak up, we want to hear from them, getting people involved. That's all we have.
As you heard from various groups, kind of anything that, any kind of surprises or kind of neat ideas that you heard from a group, or any themes you heard from everyone, just let's just take a couple minutes to say, what did we just hear?
In the meantime, we're reconvening the Conservation Board.
One thing that I know when I looked at some of those responses is that I love the fact that they deal with conservation issues and the environment, but I don't know some of them how the Johnson County Conservation Board can change them alone.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, right.
Because they're pretty broad.
They're big. Yep.
One thing I see when looking at a lot of this is, and I should have said it when I was talking because it was on the notes, but I forgot to read it, that is more staff. I mean, when you take a look at it, I was out working with conservation, and they were about 3 months behind, and I believe they're still that way, and it's just one of those things where to do more, to do what the public is asking us to do, it's going to take more staff, and that's just one of those things where it's a really tough decision because knowing the tax impact staff has, but at the same time trying to balance what conservation needs to do is going to be a tough balancing act, a tough juggle, and conservation just can't afford, though, to get further and further behind.
You know, along with that, it seems to me like we've got to find a better way to show the public. Here's what you get with the staff we have, because we only do so much. Here's what we need to be doing, and here's the staff we need to do that. If you want this picture here, you've got to have more staff. If you want something in between, you need half the staff, that kind of thing.
Exactly, have that table.
And have it kind of out there for people to understand.
Maybe even with the PowerPoint examples of what these actually look like.
On those same lines, I just wanted to double check so that I wasn't saying something ignorant. But in looking at the current organizational chart, there were multiple comments tonight about, and obviously in the background materials too, that we need to do more outreach. That has traditionally been kind of just done by Brad and the director and others in the organization just as a trying to get the word out because they know it's important, not because it's specifically in their job description. So one important person that's maybe missing from this is not necessarily a PR person, but an outreach person, that they have the talents, the expertise, how to get messages out in a way that's processed, or multiple ways that are processed and consumed by the audiences we want to reach. And I think we have such good people in the department as is, they recognize that's important and doing their best to get it out there. But, you know, without social media training and just the knowledge of what it means to get a message out that then gets acted upon is not something, say, that a naturalist goes to school for.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, and it's interesting, too, because what we heard in the focus groups is not only kind of the sort of what we think of outreach of getting the word out, but of a lot of information about how do we go to and connect with various communities more, which is a lot of, again, it's like out there, you know, going to meetings and that sort of, and so it's yeah.
I think that's difficult because, let's be honest, the Board of Supervisors have the same issues.
Right.
Media is changing. The same media markets that were there 10 years ago are not there. Newspapers are downsizing.
Right.
Social media is being more heavily used. We're chasing, trying to figure out, well, who's that reporter's not at the Precipice anymore. They're not at the Gazette. They're gone. That doesn't even
they're
exist
not
anymore.
Even doing
how
column.
Do we
yeah.
how do we communicate with the public? Kids, my generation may not get news the same way an older generation does, and people younger than me get their news a different way as well. So it isn't as easy to communicate with the general public as it used to be. It's news, radio, newspapers.
Right. And all organizations are. I mean,
so
in all.
Job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody else?
I think another point of that is how much the public can we capture when we know we're successful?
Right.
We're not going to get them all.
I know.
Is there a target amount for the public that we feel is important to capture and get them aware? And that can also build from there, but we have to be realistic as well.
Right.
But I agree. We've got the more we can tell our story,
the better off we are,
and the more people want to get involved.
This is totally an action item or a backpack item, but somebody just mentioned the whole idea of an app that describes the. It was Bill, right? Didn't you mention
yes,
an app that describes some of the flora and maybe even the fauna that one can expect to see at our various natural areas? Well, that's a great opportunity for a partnership with any number of either. You know, our university, our community college, or any number of relatively high-tech information technology for-profit enterprises in our community to develop that. But we don't have in-house staff that speaks Apple apps
right. Or
is a coder.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, from a conservation board leadership standpoint, I don't think the five members of the conservation board are thinking that's a capital asset we should invest in, is an app, because we are still kind of conventional. We think about land as something we invest in, a campground as something we invest in, not an app that actually connects even more with our community and gets people to use our resources, but it would be an investment just like that.
Okay, to add on to that, I think we have to develop stories that sort of float to the top. I just feel so inundated by information that, you know, I just read headlines and, you know, that's it. So it has to be something that, you know, feels good or is interesting or somehow grabs people.
We need cutting edge stories.
Yeah.
Board member found running naked through. That would be.
Is there a sauna or hot tub involved?
Maybe.
Yeah. Or is there a serial killer does?
Okay, I can tell when it's over.
Or sleepwalk.
Yeah. Right. And I'm a little afraid to send you home because you're sleeping on questions right now, which is kind of, yeah.
I do want to remind everybody, the audio is being recorded.
All right. Anything else? Wait, we're just
shutting up. I think what you're saying, for myself, that I deal with people all the time, I deal with the users and stuff. Mm-hmm. What I look at is it's like selling a product that's good enough to sell itself. And if it's a good product, it will sell. And if it's a great product, you don't have to advertise as much. But if you don't advertise a product, period, you don't know if somebody really wants to use it. But, I see what you're saying, Ryan, and I agree with you. But I still think you still got to have a good product to sell. A bad product just doesn't sell because it's just not, you can't use it. Or it just doesn't mean anything to you.
But you know what? I don't worry about that because you guys all, everybody takes such pride in their work. I mean, I've never seen anything done halfway. With conservation, it's always done well, so I'm not worried about that. I don't even have to know whatever people do next Monday. I know it's going to be done well, and I'll be willing to tell people it is. I put my reputation on it, so I don't think you have to worry about that.
But you do have to worry about, and we brought it up in our group, is it's hard to practice the word out that we are for water quality and all of those things. Oh, by the way, you can't swim in Kent Park. Yeah. So there's a little bit of that, and yep. That's a good result too. And to get that resolved, some of the, and I know that's all getting worked on and all those things.
And yeah, right.
But that is clearly a concern. That the marquee place has something wrong with the water.
But just another perspective on the app idea, I look at it as a way to expand staff capabilities without requiring a staff person to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we can use it to augment the staff we have, and then like another staff person in a sense.
Right. Yeah, because it's out there. Yep. Any other comments?
Well, what Terrence said, I agree with 100%. This is in the past, we may be looking at camping, bicycling, hunting, fishing. Everything we do has to focus on water quality. Water quality is a part of everything we do, whether it's camping or whatever. And the reason why Kent Park Lake is like that is because we haven't focused on it for 50 years. We focused on providing all these other things, and so what the public's telling us is that water quality, people look at us as being the professionals in water quality, professionals in conservation, and they look at us now as having a lake that's been there for 40 to 50 years, and we provide them a lake they can't even swim in. Mm-hmm. We could be doing more.
Dave Wade, Natural Resource Manager. I think a lot of times we just see the stream that's flowing in, but we don't see what's flowing into the stream. And water runs downhill, usually.
Something else does too.
Yeah, exactly.
But the main thing is to improve the water quality, especially at Kent Park, we have to have the staffing to manipulate the habitat that the water flows through.
Right.
And filters. And we need to address those problems, and that has to be a top priority. Mm-hmm. And another thing, ever since I've been on staff, and that's a long time, 28 and a half years, and 3 years part-time, we have always tried to treat many parts of the park, Kent Park especially, and our other areas, our other natural areas, as living museums. And not everything in a living museum is spectacular. Not everything in a living museum is going to end up on Facebook or on the front page of the newspaper. But each one of those living organisms, mm-hmm. some beautiful, some not so beautiful, belong out there. Now, we protect those things not only for people to enjoy and see and as part of the ecosystem, but we also protect those things, those living things, plants, animals, you name it, mushrooms, all the different life forms in these living museums. We protect those for the people and the children that are unborn. Because what may not be a value to us today may be a value to someone 200 years from now. And it may be even a medical value too. So, you know, that's the whole concept that I believe in. And it's kept me going throughout the years.
Yeah, you just brought up something that no one's really brought up a lot of, and that's the whole health aspect.
Yeah.
No, I haven't heard that word tonight. Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Okay. Tomorrow. We reconvene at 8:30. So we're going to be back in these spaces from 8:30 to 4:30. We're going to, in the morning, we're going to do some visioning. I'm going to send you home with some vision questions. They're the same ones that were in all the homework packets, so you may already have thought about it. We have designed the day to explore three strategic questions that we kept hearing pop up. And I think, as I've listened tonight, they're still the right ones. But those of you on the committee, put that in your brain tonight, too. The three questions or the three pieces, and they were in your homework. So those of you think, oh, those are questions that we're going to be talking about. One is, like, how do we balance that quality and resources piece? And that's kind of a perpetual issue, and we've got some time to work on that. The second one is around kind of structure of the organization and some potential plan changes and how that could really work. And then the third one is around outreach and education, which again has popped up a lot tonight. So I would just, especially those of you who are on the strategic planning committee, if you think, you know what, Elaine, we need to pull one of those and put something else in, be thinking about that. So we'll do those three strategic questions, and then we'll finish up the day kind of looking at what we have and what are the next steps in order to create a written plan and a package summary. We'll have, if we have members of the public join us tomorrow, we'll have public discussion points right before lunch and at the end of the day. We'll kind of build those in. So that's what tomorrow's all about. Here's your questions to sleep on. And I believe if these aren't exactly what was in your homework, it's pretty close. They're the vision questions. How will Johnson County be different 5 to 10 years from now because the Conservation Board exists? So it's like, what's your impact in the county? And two, what will the actual Conservation Board organization look like 5 to 10 years from now? And again, we've kind of talked, you know, I bet we've already talked about some of this tonight, but I bet it'll pop back up again tomorrow. What does the Conservation Board need to focus on over the next 5 to 10 years to achieve our vision and fulfill our mission? I think we may have begun that conversation tonight, but there may be some other things that pop up for you. So, you know, put that under your pillow, you know, think about that. Yeah, I think my... Yep, I think. And we don't have any members of the public. We're going to do a opportunity for additional public input. Have them. So that concludes this evening.
So do I hear a motion from the Conservation Board to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
We're adjourned.
Thank you, everybody. Okay. I-